Fellow Freedom fans, we're back with this Faith and Freedom show. There's something in the news. There's an alert for Orange County people need to be aware of. Weird but true. Amoeba blamed for man's death. Amoeba. This is Orlando. A 22-year-old man has died from apparent amoeba infection. You can read about it. I typed in cfnews13.com. Central Florida News is cfnews13.com. Story there about amoeba death. There's some information there that explains if the water level's low, you have a higher incidence of amoeba density in water, in ponds and things like that. People going swimming, it's at higher temperatures, will have a higher density of amoebas. There's all kinds of crazy things that can happen. It says, although contracting an amoeba infection can be rare, the Orange County Health Department said it can happen year-round. Amoeba can cause an infection by traveling up the nose to the brain and spinal cord. Whoa. Let's see. It was a young man, a 22-year-old man, was infected after swimming in a local body of water. The health department will not test any of the lakes. I wonder why. Oh, I guess it's something. They're making a complaint that they weren't tested ahead of time. So that's something to be aware of. Not only do you have to worry about alligators and African pythons, you have to worry about microscopic amoeba. My number here is 888-850-1872. 888-850-1872. I'm contemplating talking about this strange idea of sending dust particles into the atmosphere to test, and they've got an idea to cool the Earth by changing the upper atmosphere. It's really weird. I can talk about that. And then there's another thing I can address. I was reading in New Zealand Herald an article about an encounter with Mr. Key, the prime minister, or the president, prime minister, whatever you call it, there in New Zealand. The title of the article says, Key Obama shock meeting precedes hateful UN address. So it called it a shock meeting. Barack Obama approaches John Key at a UN lunch. The New Zealand later joined the U.S. in a walkout during Mr. Ahmadinejad, I'm having trouble with that, UN address. The point here I want to make of this is I'm actually troubled by this. I'm actually troubled by this. It's a little bit creepy. There's a lot of weird things going on these days. There's a lot of strange things. I noticed that I had an article I found. Somebody sent something to me where a teacher in a school had little kids who are about 7 or 8 years old doing a chant that essentially worshipped the current president of the United States. Sometimes people question me if I challenge them about their being overly American, overly too much Americanism. An ism is an ism. It's a religious practice. It may be idolatry. Don't get overly Americanized. Just because I talk about the Constitution and the Founding Fathers, let's not worship them. It's a frame of reference, but it's not supposed to be something that we elevate or venerate to the point of worship. Because, guess what? If you'll worship that, eventually you'll worship a man that's living today. If you'll worship a flag, or a constitution, that's an inanimate object, how far are you from worshiping an animate object? So here, let me read this thing that is being reported by New Zealand Herald, and hopefully you'll see what I'm saying. Earlier Prime Minister John Key... Okay, Prime Minister John Key enjoyed a surprise meeting with United States President Barack Obama at a lunch at the United Nations. I get the impression by reading this that Mr. Key was really giddy and that New Zealand's really giddy that their president got to meet the president of the United States. Who cares? It's a servant, isn't it? And again, I'm not taking anything personal with Mr. Obama himself. I'm just talking about, let's look at what's going on here. The pair were scheduled to meet for the first time at a U.S. presidential reception this evening, but Mr. Obama approached the prime minister unexpectedly at a lunch hosted by U.N. Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. I wonder if Mr. Obama would have an article saying, a giddy article saying, Mr. John Key unexpectedly approached Mr. Obama at lunch. Okay. The pair chatted for 2 or 3 minutes. Mr. Obama asked Mr. Key how he was enjoying the UN. The pair exchanged pleasantries before the U.S. president moved on. Mr. Key said it was great to have the opportunity to meet Mr. Obama in person. He came up, I was sitting at my table, and he came over and said, look, it was great to see you. Fantastic to have a chat on the phone. Look forward to seeing you a lot more of you. Mr. Key will have another chance to meet the U.S. leader at tonight's reception. This morning, Mr. Key told reporters he had bought a nude purple tie for the big moment. This morning, Mr. Key told reporters that he bought a new purple tie for the big moment. He only expected a quick... Does this sound like a meeting with the Pope? These are the kind of... this is very similar to reports that I've seen when people meet the Pope. It's kind of interesting. He only expected a quick greeting rather than what is known in diplomatic circles as a pull-aside, where more substantive issues could be discussed. I don't have high expectation. I mean, there's 166 leaders here. This is Mr. Key speaking. The pressure on his time is unbelievable. And realistically, I've been of the view there will be more time at APEC, and I think that's the way Americans would see it as well. I'm confused by the statement. Mr. Key said that he had been impressed by Mr. Obama's speeches at the UN and Clinton Global Initiative over the past 2 days. Mr. Obama's speech to the United Nations General Assembly was direct and substantive, he said. This is Mr. Key speaking about Mr. Obama. But he was more reserved about Mr. Obama's speech on climate change yesterday. I like the way they said Mr. Obama instead of just Obama. That's amazing. Mr. Key initially said the president's presence was important, but later said it was disappointing that there was not more substance. That was at the climate change speech. Today, Mr. Obama's first address to the General Assembly since becoming president focused on the need for the world to work together to solve problems. I did take exception personally about some of the things that the president of the United States said in that thing, but we may be able to get there here in the time we have. He also spoke against nuclear weapons and urged peace between Israel and Palestine. I thought on balance he was a bit more direct today, Mr. Key told reporters. They're spending a whole lot of time on the intimacies here, aren't they? I was impressed. I thought he spoke really well, and I thought he had a bit more substance today. I think the speech was flawless. There sure is a lot of focus in New Zealand about the President of the United States, who I understand is on equal terms with the president or prime minister of New Zealand. So this seems just slightly twisted here. Yesterday, I just don't think he actually came out with a clear and articulate program of what the United States was going to do. As I read this article again, some of the things I saw, he was kind of giddy. He gets a new purple tie because he's going to meet the president of the United States as if he's elevated to some status, as if the president of the United States is elevated to some status of worship. I know that sounds extreme, but I'm just seeing a kind of a, what did Mr. Gaddafi said? He said that Mr. Obama was his son. There's a lot of weird nuances going on right now in the world political platform, on the world political stage. There's a lot of weird stuff going on. And I find it fascinating that everybody's geared to what Mr. Obama's saying, what he's doing. You have Fidel Castro praising the president of the United States, and not it's just kind of a weird kind of worship thing that's going on right now. It's kind of strange. I don't know if it's just going to ebb and flow. I don't know. Sometimes people just hate the president of the United States. But what I have found is when I'm checking out news. By the way, the number here is 888-850-1872, 888-850-1872, is I have noticed, as I am looking for news across the globe, that there is a wild fascination with the United States. China is big in the news. The United Kingdom is big in the news. Venezuela. You got, you know, different people who kind of heckle and things like that show up in the news. But I would say the main focus of the entire world is the behavior of the United States. And now it's president. So that's kind of strange. It's kind of troubling, some of the things that Mr. Obama said in his speech. And it, you say it was all nice stuff. My problem is, by what authority? It sounded really good. But the thing is, I see here what we're facing is in this new world order, that's just growing into it's just blossoming, that we've got this global government thing that the UN is suddenly becoming credible. And the UN, which is a government, it's got a charter, and they say themselves that the UN is not merely a treaty, and the UN claims itself to be the global government, the government of the world. It claims itself to be so. We don't have any authority to make the UN the global government of the world. As I understand it, the United States is the principal funder of that global government. It is the principal instigator of that global government, and it has no authority under its own laws to do such a thing. So it's sublime. It's beyond just merely pragmatic application of constitutional or non-constitutional principles or whatever it is. When you have the president of the United States acting as a legislator in a global government, that is now we're in this place that I think was forecast in the Bible. And you hear, shut up, he's going crazy again. Folks, pay attention. It's happening on your watch. When's the last time you did anything in life without rendering a 9-digit number? And now you're having to give the marks on your right hand to verify your bank account or your check or your this or your that. Some grocery stores are even requiring or even giving you at least the opportunity to verify your identity by the rendering of a scan of your hand or your forehead. Now, where was that mentioned in history? Is it just a coincidence that somebody 2,000 years ago, just about 2,000 years ago, wrote this stuff down that it was going to be happening? And then about 2,500 years ago, somebody named Daniel forecast a lot of the things that we've got going on today. And both of them were related to what are known in those circles as end times. So the guy Daniel, who went through Nebuchadnezzar's reign, he went through the he was in the Medo-Persian Empire. He forecast the arrival of Alexander the Great on the political scene and then followed that up by the Roman Empire and said that that empire, that structure of government, that partly strong, partly weak, what we call it today a Republican, representative Republican government structure, democratic, some would call it. He described having this last kingdom as being one that wasn't merely a king like the other ones, like, Alexander the Great and the Medes and the Persians and Babylon, but that it was one that was partly strong and partly weak, like we have and have had since the Roman Empire. And then he forecast that ultimately at the end of that period, that there would be one who would come and crush all of those, the complete history, and it would completely end these kingdoms of men, would completely interrupt that forever. And it was forecast by a guy named Daniel. We're going to take a break right now. We're going to come back. We've got a caller, and hopefully we'll have a good time here on the Eagle 104.3 FM, Liberty Works Radio Network. Keep tuning in. Of course, the number is 888-850-1872, and you can watch at faithfreedoms.org.